Hi, this is Tina Black, and this is the B Series Podcast. Today, we'll be exploring untold stories of transformation and leadership. We hope you'll subscribe and check out the B Books and send us your stories of transformation after listening. Okay, I am super excited because I finally have Dr. Vicki Harris in the seat today for the B Series podcast. So first of all, Vicki, thank you for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you. So good to see you, Tina.
Oh, I feel like I've known you forever because you graduated with my husband in high school. And so that's just a few years ago, right, Vicki?
Not that long ago.
It's amazing. We've been following each other on social media for a while. And I tell you, there's power in social media, right?
Making friends. I love it. I love it. If it's used correctly, it can really do wonders.
Amen. I think that's a quote of the day. If it's used correctly, it can do wonders. I love that so much. So I want to share with you who Dr. Vicki Harris is. So she is the Chief People and Culture Officer, as well as overseeing the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiatives worldwide at our Daily Bread Ministries. And so I'm going to actually have you talk about that in a moment, but that is a mouthful, Vicki. When I read that, I was like, okay, we need to unpack that because this is pretty awesome right now, because shouldn't every company have this title of someone on their team as well? And I asked my husband, because we always call this this series, whatever the podcast interview is on, based on things that the person says. But I asked him, I said, hey, Brian, when you think of Vicki, what's a word that would describe her? And you know what he said? He said cheerleader.
Oh, yes.
So he said she was a cheerleader. And I'm like, of course she was. And I was looking at your bio and thinking about you, Vicki. You are a cheerleader. You cheer people on. So I think we're going to call this Be a Cheerleader. I already know right away.
All right. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Be a cheerleader. And so I want to like really unpack, like, why should a person be a cheerleader, first of all? But before we do that, can you share like your journey? I know you've been married 35 years. You have 3 children. You've got 2 grandchildren. You're also a associate pastor of ministry leadership training and development at Full Life Center Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan as well too. And so I'd love to kind of have you share your journey, how you got to where you are today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tina. And please tell Brian, thank you for remembering that I was a cheerleader. I will definitely get to that point. Let me just kind of give you a quick overview of my background. As you know, Tina, I grew up in small town, Port Huron, Michigan, and things were great. I had a wonderful Christian family until the day that my dad and mom went through a dramatic, really, divorce. I'm not sure if Brian remembers this, but my dad was actually the city's first star football player. And back in the day, and he was drafted to Denver after I was born. So my mom and dad moved to Denver from Michigan, and he had a scholarship for football. He was just that good. His picture is still up in Port Huron High School hallways and just in their history books. And it was just a wonderful opportunity. But then sin happened. He got the scholarship, full ride to Denver, and due to his drinking and partying lifestyle, he lost his scholarship. Mm. He went into depression, and his life in terms of football was over. The marriage broke up, and dad left us when I was the only one born at that time, when I was a young kid in school. But knowing also where his depression came from, was his dad left the family when he was very young. And my grandfather, I remember, just a little side note here, I remember when I last saw my grandfather, it was at a Detroit Tigers baseball game. He loved baseball, but he could not take the pressures of life. When he was married, he was mixed race. My grandfather was half African-American, half Caucasian. He was adopted out of Germany to a military husband and wife that brought him to Michigan. And then my grandfather joined the military, and he left Port Huron, left his family, just could not deal with what was happening in the 60s. He was a very successful businessman, but couldn't take the issues of racism and discrimination that was just, you know, it was so prevalent back in the 60s, and he just could not take it and fell into depression, left the family, and that really had a huge impact on my father as well. When he and my mom divorced, he sunk into depression. He sunk into all the partying, the drugs, and drinking, and just all of that. So he left us. My mom was left to raise. At that time, it was three of us. Life was really tough. She was left to raise three children at that time. But it was her faith that carried her through. And her large family also helped along the way. They were great role models. We came from a very large Christian family. My aunts and uncles became like my siblings, and they were there to support us. But nobody really talked about the emotional trauma that had happened in our family with the depression, with the divorce, with the drugs and alcohol. Nobody ever checked on us as young teens. So my teen years, I even went through depression. I couldn't seek help because at that time, the church was a place where you didn't talk about things that were going wrong. You couldn't come before your elders or your pastor to say something was wrong with you or that you were dealing with depression or any type of sin at that point. They were very legalistic, so you couldn't let them know what you were really going through. And going through that depression, we sunk into poverty, lost our home, ended up having to move. My grandmother actually moved with us, and that really saved, I believe, our lives. She was a praying woman. She allowed my mom to go back and get her education because, again, we were young. My mom and dad married right out of high school. So my mom was still very young. And my grandmother moved in with us, and she was such a powerful missionary and powerful praying woman. And I can remember always hearing her at night pray and interceding for her children and her grandchildren. And going back a little bit, when I ended up in an abusive relationship after getting a little older in my high school days, I fell in love, I thought, with my high school star football player. And I was a cheerleader. And I was in gymnastics as well. So I just thought that my relationship would be different, but it wasn't. And we fell into drugs, drinking, partying. And at that time, boyfriend was messing around with a lot of different women and things like that. And it was just a lot of partying. And you know what, sometimes what star football players do. And I found out that I was really reliving what my dad had gone through as well. Mm-hmm. And ended up marrying my high school sweetheart and ended up in a tumultuous relationship, an abusive relationship, that he was angry with his childhood and just would take it out on me. And many times I had to just run for my life, really. I became very depressed because of the abuse, because of the language, because of what he was trying to do, literally trying to kill me, demean me, and just really impacted my self-esteem. And I had not done anything. I was just trying to be a good wife at that time, and just trying to be a good person. And there was an internal rage and anger that only happened when my husband at that time would drink. And he would turn into a very different person, that the rage and the drinking and the drugs and everything was just horrible in our home. and the abuse happened. And I finally, after a few years, Tina, I finally had enough, and I had the courage to begin to cry out to God like I've never done before, asking God to deliver me because I was lost and I had been seeking love in all of the wrong places and spaces. So I remember crying out to God for deliverance. I said, I cannot live like this anymore. He is not going to change. I cannot stay here. And I began to repent to God for all that had done, because I had turned my back on him. But I finally had the courage, after really crying out to God, to move and to just leave him, move away from our own life, my own safety. And I began to really, really, I think, grow in my relationship with God, which began when I was probably about 22, 23 years old. I began to understand the love of God in a fresh new way, in a real way, in a personal way, not because of how I had grown up, you know, growing up in the church all of my life, growing up under missionaries and pastors. God really began to be real to me in a very special way. So I went back to school, got my education. God gave me a job actually in a legal field. I actually love the legal field. And I was in a legal field for about 10 years. And I began to feel God began to pull me into another direction. So I began to transition into HR management. I had had a couple of degrees by then. And I really have been doing HR work for over 30 years now. I began the global work about 10 years ago, and I absolutely enjoy it. And the people that I get to work with, and the travel, meeting the leaders and staff members all over the world, and training them in HR and people and culture and various leadership topics. It has just really been an incredible, amazing transformation in my life that God has really blessed because of the obedience that I feel like I finally understood God wanted me to do. And he took my pain and he took that and developed a purpose for me. And I've been here doing this work for the last 10 years.
Okay. Well, this is unbelievable, because I watched your face just completely transformed the minute that you said that you found God in a whole fresh new way. It's like you knew him, but you didn't really know him. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper into that, because I think there's some steps here that people can take. I think someone's listening right now that's saying, oh my gosh, I've been seeking love in all the wrong places, first of all. And you said right away, you're like, okay, I need to be obedient to God's ways. And second, I need to repent. Those are huge. Can we back up a little bit into that? Because I think this is how you can really, really find your purpose first and foremost, and also to be really transformed by the love of God.
Thank you, Tina. I began to really cry out to God. And I remember I began just daily devotional times with God. I would take long walks and just really trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want out of my life? I knew that you had something better for me, and I knew that I could not live the way that I was living. And I think through that seeking God, God began to really share with me. I kid you not, I began to learn what his voice sounded like. And I began to hear him say, I want you to do this, this, and this. And I tell any teenager, 16 to 20 years old, seek God for what he has for your life. Even younger, you can do that. But for my life, it was those years that were really traumatic. And I began to seek God, and he began to answer me. And I began to take time to listen, to meditate on what he was saying. And I really couldn't quite understand it all, but I took what he was telling me every step of the way, and I was obedient to do that. When God told me to leave the legal field and begin to work in HR, it was a transition. I began to journal. I began to write down what God was saying. And I was like, okay, God, you want me to leave this. Now, 10 years in legal was great, because it prepared me for HR. I learned all of the employment laws. I learned so much during that time that God used in the new role. And I want to share with anybody that is going through that transition to meditate, to pray, and listen to the voice of God, and then be obedient to what he tells you to do, because he will give you wisdom. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you clarity on what it needs to be going forward in your life.
Okay. Wow. Okay. This is so big. And first of all, I love that you run, of course, our Daily Bread Ministry. So if you guys don't know what that is, you definitely been living under a rock, because as a kid, we've always seen these, and we always saw them at our grandparents. It's been around forever, right? And it's always been, still is today, my husband's favorite devotional. So whenever we go somewhere and he sees one, he grabs it right away. And what a great, like, it is so packed with so much godliness, these devotionals. First of all, where did those come from? Tell the story of the Daily Breads, because I want to hear that story first and foremost. And second, who writes those? Or are they just a compilation of a bunch of different pastors and people around the country or the world?
Sure. Thanks, Tina. Our Daily Bread Ministries really began back in 1938. M.R. DeHaan was a doctor, and he left the hospital.
Wow.
Yes, and he became a teaching pastor to a local church here in town. And after he began teaching the Word of God, he actually was on the radio, just him and a microphone. We still have pictures today that show him teaching. Nobody in the room. He started on the radio, just behind a microphone, and teaching the Word. And actually, it began in Detroit, Michigan. And he was there for many years. Yep, it began in Detroit. And he left Detroit and moved back to Grand Rapids, and began to really expand the ministry. And at that time, it was the Day of Discovery, the Inspirational Hour. He was on there quite a bit. So he went into TV. And then from that, he began the devotional, which is just a little short form way of having your daily devotions and meditating on God. And it has grown from 1938 to just one person preaching and teaching on the radio, to now we have 38 offices around the world with millions of people reading and doing the daily devotions. We have a compilation of writers and authors that help us, and there's probably over 100 writers and authors, pastors, and community leaders that help us with writing for our Daily Bread.
Unbelievable. I love this so much. Yeah. Because every time you read it, you're like, whoa, that just totally spoke to my heart. You know, it's just so filled with so much Holy Spirit goodness. Right. And so it's so true. And you said, you know, you just started doing a devotional. So it doesn't have to be like, okay, I got to pick up the Bible and read it from cover to cover. Why don't you start with just like little bits and pieces? And the Daily Bread is awesome because it brings kind of life of today, like what's happening today and how you can use the scripture, because the scripture, right, is from yesterday, today, and forever, right? And so it's gonna cut through, and it's gonna help you to become a better leader, a better person, right? And so it's gonna help show you, like, okay, this is what I need to work on in my life. You know, even today, I was looking at the verse I was looking at in the book of John, and I was like, whoa, okay, I totally needed this today. It's amazing how God like leads you when you were saying like you hear his voice and just listen, right? So unpack that a little bit, Vicki, as we continue on this series, because I'm calling it Be a Cheerleader. So how can we be a cheerleader? Well, first of all, being obedient, right? Starting with maybe reading a Daily Bread, right? Just let God speak to you and say, Lord, what do you show me? Unpack that a little bit more. What advice do you give women around the world and men, of course, when they get started on this journey, this spiritual journey, if you will? What advice do you give them?
Yes, thank you. Good question. I think what I would like to say to women that may be in an abusive relationship or maybe living a life that is not a godly life, to begin to stop and take time to get to know God in such a deeper way. Begin to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to really make you a new creation, to really make you into a new person. And he will do that. And I just really feel like people need to get back to reading the Bible more, reading it on a daily basis. The scriptures can help you in ways that people can't. And when I began to read the Word of God daily, I began to add the different devotions to my life. God began to transform things. And I would say to somebody that's in an abusive relationship is to lean not to your own understanding, but trust God in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. He will give you the courage to say, no, I'm not going to stay in this relationship. God has more for me. And begin to believe that with everything that's within you. And you begin to make the steps to a better life, to a greater life in Him.
Wow. Okay. So you kind of all put in leaving an abusive relationship, and you were like, Lord, forgive me of my sins. So someone might be listening and saying, wait a minute, Vicki, why am I sinning? Because I'm in an abusive relationship. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, I think for me, when I was in an abusive relationship, I lost my connection to God, because I began to really focus on the circumstances and what I was going through and the pain that I was feeling. I did not go to God with it. And when I began to go to Him, He began to show me where I had lacked and where I had backed away from my faith. And I want to share that women, we need to hold fast to our faith and not give up on God. He is there with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can't turn your back on Him. And when I began to just say, God, heal me, deliver me, that's when He began to show me the steps to take so that I could live a victorious life, not a life of condemnation, not a life in fear, not a life in threats, but God began to show me a new way that I could live in Him.
This is so big, because you basically said, Lord, take this cup from me, so to speak, right? This is too heavy for me. It's too heavy of a cup to bear. And so you were obedient to the Lord, but it also took courage to walk away. And so kind of talk about, because to be a cheerleader, right, we've got to be obedient, but we also have to be courageous, because we might be like, okay, well, God says, well, I think He, and I've actually watched this happen with someone that I know that I was coaching, actually, Vicki, that was in an abusive relationship that left, but went back to the same relationship. And I've also seen where they'll go back into more abusive relationships. And so can you talk about that? What sure. advice do you give?
I've seen that too. I've become a real advocate for women that are in abusive relationships or being trafficked. And I really see where people, women, go back to the same relationship year after year. And it does take courage. But the only person that can help you is Jesus Christ. And so that's where I began to get my courage, my confidence, my self-esteem was restored. I tell you, God did a new work in my life, and I will never be the same, because I yielded everything to Him.
So good. You know, the Lord's been working on me too, on repenting in areas that I didn't realize that I was even sinning in those areas, right? And sometimes it takes like those devotionals and those books to kind of point those things out, right? Like, and so just asking God, like, what's the next book I should read, right? And what advice you give me? And that's exactly what I did. And people would tell me, and I'm like, whoa, this is powerful. And then I have a Be Amazing private page, and I've been sharing a lot of information by Dr. Henry Wright, which is, you know, when you have like dis-ease, usually it comes from not repenting of root of sin. It could, of course, be a satanic stronghold, some areas of sickness, but this doctor, kind of similar to this Our Daily Bread minister here that started this as a doctor, and he was a doctor and became a minister. And so it's pretty amazing, because he's pointing out these sins, these strongholds, from fear to anxiety, to you know, maybe envy, jealousy, things like that, that's actually unforgiveness that's causing this root to cause disease in people, right, as well too. But you were so courageous. It seems like it happened overnight, but it probably took a while. So kind of talk about that little bit of the moment when you took your first step, Vicki. Do you remember back then? Because I'm sure it took a minute to take that step to flee.
Granted, it's been several years. So try and figure out what caused me to take that first step. I think it was that I really got tired and sick of the situation, sick of how I was feeling. I really just got tired of it. And now, grant you, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church all the time. So I knew what prayer was, but I didn't really do prayer in a personal way. And when I began to really just speak to God, to ask him to heal me of my depression, heal me of my low self-esteem, everything that he was showing me, that, because I didn't know sometimes what I was dealing with. But as I began to pray and seek God in a new way, he began to touch me in a special way and show me things that were deep rooted, the disappointment, the hurt of my grandfather leaving, of my father leaving, of the sin that was in our lives, that I began to really say, God, cleanse me and heal me and save me from all of that. I no longer want to carry that disappointment and hurt, because growing up, I was very hurt, very upset at the life that we could have led had things gone well, to the life that we found ourselves in, which was poverty and single family home. But God began to cleanse me from that. I began to forgive my grandfather. I forgave my father, and he never did anything for us after I was about 8 years old. But then when it was probably about 5 years before his death, we began to reconcile, and God began to show me the unforgiveness that was in my heart, and I had to forgive him, and I forgave him, and then ended up leading him to the Lord and the love of Jesus, but also showing him Christ, because I had to take care of him the last 3 years of his life. Now, this is a man that never did anything for us, but God showed me that I had to show him love, and I had to show him Christ, and I had to forgive him. And God did a miracle by saving his soul.
Yeah. Isn't that just beautiful? And, you know, some people may be listening and saying, well, you don't know what my father did, and you don't know what my uncle did, or whatever. Right. And so I find this piece, the hardest piece right here, is the forgiveness piece, right? And so the root of unforgiveness can cause dis-ease, right? And which depression is one of those, right? And so I had that in my own life. And so just like repenting, Lord, I give you this challenge. Like, here you go. I'm laying it at your feet. It's all yours. I'm good. I can wash my hands of this, right? So can you talk about that? Because I'm actually coaching someone right now that has a lot of health challenges. And I do believe that it has something to do with unforgiveness in their heart. And so talk to them right now why this is so important.
Okay, it's so important, because unforgiveness can be the root of illness, can be the root of even emotional issues. It really, if you don't forgive others, God said that I will not forgive you. And so you have to really get past the hurt and all of the pain of what has been done to you. We've all been through things. We've all been through a lot of things. I've had sexual rape and all of those things that happened in my childhood that I had to accept and forgive the person, the people that did that. I had to forgive several different things, but it came to a point that God began to show me, and I wasn't blaming anybody, because you can't continue to blame the person. You have to get over the blame and say, God, do a work in me, save my soul. And when he does that, then you'll be set free. And he who the Son set free, he is free indeed.
Yeah. And you make it sound so simple, Vicki, like, but it is. It's amazing. Even yesterday, we were struggling with the challenge, and I've kind of gotten to the point over the years, Vicki, the Lord showed me, Tina, you don't have to talk about it. Just pray about it. Like, you don't need to like line up 18 people to get on your side. Just pray, pray. And it's just amazing how God just like softened the challenge. And it was so beautiful. So as a business leader, business owner, minister leader, whatever you have, I call it my ministry, right? Prayer is the key. And, you know, you talked about that, you know, and you actually talked about your family too, because from a lot of depression in your family, divorce in your family, right? And you're just like, we're breaking this up. This stops with me right now. And look at, you've been married 35 years. What's the secret, Vicki? 35 years.
Yes, it's been amazing. I met my husband several years ago, and I allow God to send me the right person, not to go out looking for the right person, but to send me the right person. And God has really done a work in our lives. It's a wonderful marriage. We have three children and two grandchildren and three grandchildren now. And so I thoroughly, thoroughly believe that God has kept us because we have yielded. We've laid our marriage at his feet. We've surrendered everything in our lives. And we've said, God, make our relationship a whole relationship. Heal us from our past. Heal us from anything that is keeping us, you know, from you. Communication was huge for us. Communication still is something that we strive to always stay open to with one another, being transparent, being honest, and just making sure that you stay connected. We live such busy lives now, especially with me, with my global travel. I am in another country almost every other month. And so I have to be intentional to make sure that my relationship is good, that my relationship is secure with one another as a couple. And God has done a work, and we're still together, and we still love and like each other.
I love that so much. And yeah, that's my newest book I'm working on, Be Married. So it should be out in the next couple of years, hopefully, right? So prayerfully here. But yes, I'm excited. So I'm definitely going to want some input from you for that as well. And so, Vicki, I want to back up just for a second, and then I want to dive into your job description here, because all your job descriptions all point right to is you've been a cheerleader your whole life. Once a cheerleader, always a cheerleader. And so this is amazing. But you said something, and I was actually talking to my students yesterday. I was doing a class. I teach Be Amazing Success class, it's called. And it was about like, why are you dating these people? Like, why don't you become this person so you can attract this person, right? And so you were saying you were seeking love in all the wrong places, but I'm guessing part of that was because you needed to become somebody that the right person, like whatever right is, right? You and I kind of have it in our mind, right? What the right person is, but you had to become that person so that they would be attracted to you.
So true. I had to go through a process of healing. I really had to go through a process. We don't take time enough to make sure that we're whole in Christ. And I really went through a couple years of healing, going through counseling and really going through a process of learning who I was in Christ, not what people told me that I was, but who I was in Christ and standing on his word. That's why prayer and reading his word daily is so important. You need to have that in order to have confidence, in order to have a healthy self-esteem, and in order to just be, you know, who God created you to be. You just really need to have that. So it was prayer, it was the word of God, and it was also counseling. And I know people don't like to talk about counseling and therapy, but it's so healthy for you to be able to talk some things out through the process. But going through that process of healing and wholeness is just, you can't replace it. Can't replace it.
Okay. Of course, I got to unpack that because you just said something really powerful there. And you said whole in Christ, knowing who I am in Christ, and then you threw in counseling. And so the reason why I want to bring this up is because I've watched a lot of people go through counseling, Vicki, and I'm sure you have too. And I'm like, I think you might need a new counselor. Have you thought about a Christian counselor? Because I would probably lump in a Christian counselor to also a minister, right? And so, which I think is more transformational and powerful. You know, what's your opinion on that? A, and then B, unpack that a little bit more about counseling and what is being whole in Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of counseling, you are so right, Tina. We have to make sure that we have the right counselor, one that is teaching you, coaching you, and really giving you advice from a biblical perspective. Without that, it's difficult to have true wholeness and to have true healing. And just to get you to go through a process of understanding first who God is. That he is a creator. He loves you. He will not forsake you. He has not left you. And just understanding that the creator loves me so much that he's helping me to go through a process of understanding who he is first, and then understanding who you are in Christ, that we are overcomers. And so that's where my cheerleading comes in. Yep. I am an encourager. That we are overcomers, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it takes time to get to that point where you're truly confident in that, and that you believe that in your heart and in your soul. He can heal you from the emotional pain, the mental pain, the physical pain that you've gone through. You just have to sit at his feet, take time in his word, pray daily, and he will begin to do the work of transformation to bring you into a place of wholeness.
Oh, and why wouldn't you want complete wholeness? Why do you want just half wholeness?
Right. I don't understand right? Everything that God has for me.
And
actually, that's how I birthed Global Women Who Lead. It was birthed out of me wanting to encourage, wanting to help other women grow in who God has created them to be the best version of them that God wants. And we meet on a monthly basis, and we cover several topics of healing, of communication, being confident in who God has created you, the original plan of who he has created you to be, self-esteem, assertiveness, emotional health, healthy habits and goals and time management, purpose, all of those things. We come together on a monthly basis with several women around the world, as well as here in the U.S., to cover and dialogue and train about all of these things. So God took my pain and he really developed a purpose. And now I share it and I help other women grow in terms of their leadership and in terms of them just being a better version of themselves.
So I hope that you are writing a book and it could be called From Pain to Purpose.
I haven't thought about that.
I just saw it and I got really excited about it. So that needs to be written, and it's so huge. I love how you've taken everything you've gone through and made it part of your purpose. And so it's so big and so true. I think people are just missing it in that point, right? And so talk to someone listening right now that's like, you know, I'm kind of miserable in my life right now. How do I find like purpose? Or maybe they're just like stuck and thinking, purpose, what's that? What are you talking about purpose? Help me.
Thank you. I really feel like God has put each and every one of us on this earth for a purpose. Now we have to take time with ourselves to discover what that purpose is, but God had an original plan for each and every one of us. I'm a very process oriented. So I went through a process of discovering what it is that I'm truly passionate about, what it is that I truly enjoy, what it is that I don't like, and what are the needs that I have around me. And out of that, God began to just share with me my purpose. Now, I shied away from it at first. I thought, I don't want to share all these things. I don't know if I want to help anybody. And God used every single thing that was going on in my life, even from my upbringing, my past, and he's using it to bless others all around the world. And I just would say, be open to what God wants you to do and begin to go through a self-discovery process of what it is that you're passionate about.
This is so good. Self-discovery process. This is why I became a coach, was to help people. And it started out really, Vicki, where I was just doing speaking and then group coaching. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to be way more powerful in one-on-ones and to really help people unpack their purpose, help them. Strength-based assessments are perfect for that. Right. And it's like, and I had to do it for myself because I had to borrow the belief of the assessments in me. It's like, okay. All right, I'm an activator and an achiever. Okay, I am that. Okay, you know, but just like borrowing that belief until I actually owned it. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is part of my purpose. What was the first thing that came up for you, Vicki, that you're like, this is my purpose?
I think for me, I love assessments too. I did the MBTI and I did the DISC assessment, and just wanting to find out more about myself. And that was huge for me. And it was so accurate. It was so accurate. I'm like, I have to share this with other people. When you get find out something great and you use something that's share that then with other people. And I began to train other people on those assessments and just making sure that we have a good foundation of self-awareness. Now I interview lots of leaders and people. And that's one thing that I always ask people, where are you on the self-awareness? Tell me a little bit about that. And you'd be surprised how much people don't know about themselves.
No.
And they answer it. And self-awareness is just huge. Huge for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Most people don't want to face it. Right. And we use, I'm a DISC personality trainer and consultant. So I do it with all my businesses and doing one-on-one with my team. And of course, people that I coach too, right? That's the first thing we do. Like we're going in and I'll tell my leaders who kind of maybe aren't that good of coaches yet. I'm like, listen, it's right here. There's 70 page document. Use it to coach. Just let them read it and say, what'd you think about it? Let them read a paragraph. What'd you think about it? It's that simple. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars like I did in learning how to be a great coach. I'll show you like a real simple secret, you know, that I do with leaders.
So true.
It'll reveal blind spots. And what would you say? So one of my
Tina, the other thing it will reveal is it helped me. I read back years ago, I went through the assessments and I read the 7 habits of highly effective people.
Yes.
So I was given a book when I started in management for HR. I was given a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it really was transformational in my own personal life and in my marriage. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People taught me so many foundational biblical principles that just didn't help me in my profession, but it helped me in my marriage too. And it helped me just to understand one another on a deeper level. And then the DISC helped us as well. And so I would sell any marriage or any couple to really go through some of those assessments and have some dialogue with one another.
Yeah. I did 2 different marriage retreats using the DISC assessment. It was a lot of fun. One we did in my home, another one we did in one of our other Bible study leaders' home. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
It is. It is so much fun. I mean, you get to learn things about each other, communication and dialogue about it. It's great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can either find out what your blind spots are from your spouse, or you can read the DISC assessment. So you decide.
Exactly. So true. And the 7 habits, really the area of win-win or win-lose. Sometimes as wives, we have that mentality of win-lose. If I win, I'm all good.
Yeah, exactly.
Win-win.
Yeah. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Exactly. And those were foundational things that were just so helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And so as we start to close, I love the fact that you're a chief people and culture officer. We might as well just erase this and say you are the cheerleader for our Daily Bread Ministries, right? And I love And I see this a lot now, Vicki. And in particular, I think even like after COVID and after the social unrest, I think it opened up the eyes to businesses and ministries that we need someone that oversees diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. What is that exactly? What do you do?
You know, being over people and culture helps me globally because in the U.S., we are still really big on diversity, equity, and inclusion. But in a global organization, that means something different in every country.
Okay.
And so to have people and culture as a part of that is more about belonging, making sure that our employees, wherever they come from, whatever country, that when they come on board with the ministry, that they have a sense of belonging and that they connect with our mission, our vision, our values of the organization, and that they have a missional heart. And so they care about what's happening in Ukraine. They care about what's happening in Africa, what's happening in the UK. They have a deeper sense of mission. And so that is part of my cheerleading role for HR and for our global work, that we continue to make sure that we stay in alignment with all of those things.
Okay, that's huge, because the bottom line, I don't care what business you're in, right? You are in the people business. And guess what? If you're not showing people how much they matter and how much they belong, whether it's your staff or your clients, it's over. They're leaving you, right? They're done. Because people want to know, like, do I belong here? If I'm going to spend 8 hours here a day, do I actually belong?
Right, they sure do. They want to make sure that they feel valued and that they're part of making sure with us that they are part of making sure that God's word gets out to people all around the world that need it, that people that don't get to sit in a church every Sunday morning, but they don't have a building to go through, but we can get God's word to them in so many different ways. And to be connected to that type of mission, you have to have a heart for it. You really do.
So good. And I'm definitely going to have to do another podcast on this, because I think there's an art to this too, Vicki, of how to be a cheerleader. And as a business owner, you've got to be the chief cheerleader. You know, whether you're an entrepreneur or a leader, you've got to be, or you're not going to last long.
You sure won't. You have to be able to inspire, motivate, encourage. And for me, I like to coin it as a shepherd leader, that I know how to lead and guide and care for people that are under my leadership, and that I have to be able to do that. I have to be the cheerleader. I have to be, when things get hard, I need to be able to point them in a direction and be able to encourage them through the word of God, even through the word of God, that we can get through this, that God is with us.
That is so big. It just really full circle on this whole thing. You think of a football game or basketball game, and there's cheerleaders on the side. There's a reason for that, people. Like, this is a great example of, as leaders, the management team, if you're not the cheerleaders, guess what's going to happen? Your team is not going to win.
Right.
You are not going to win. And it's all about winning, right, Vicki?
It's all about winning.
What do? We file bankruptcy, right? That's losing.
So true.
That's the opposite.
The world. You have to be able to motivate and cheerlead for your people, your staff, if you want to retain them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole nother podcast. I think you could give some really great advice on that. You're obviously a master at it. As we start to close this out, so obviously what happened for you to be a cheerleader, you had to go to work on yourself first. So you can't be unhealthy and expect you're going to be a great leader. And that's what I see all of the time, Vicki, is it's like, oh, whoa, you kind of jumped in. I did it. I jumped in way too soon, many years ago, lost my business. And then I realized, oh, whoa, you didn't do the work that of becoming in order to attract the right people on your team, Tina. We call that the law of the lid. Right.
So true, Tina. And people don't do enough work on themselves. And I truly feel that before you can master others, you need to master yourself. You need to master yourself.
That's the quote of the day right there. Before you can master others, you have to master yourself. Right there, Vicki Harris said it, people. It's going to go viral. It's huge. You are awesome. You are something else. Oh my gosh. Last piece of advice, that something that maybe you have been wanting to tell people and haven't told them yet, and you're thinking, this person's listening to this message right now, and I want them to know this. Speak to them.
I think what I will want to do as the cheerleader is to encourage people that are listening that it's not over for you. It doesn't matter what you've been through in life. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your status in life, that God loves you and that He values you and that you have purpose. Trust me, I've been through it all. I've been through it all. And God is using it for His glory. And He will do the same for you.
Vicki, I have so many people I'm going to actually send this podcast to. And I hope those of you that are listening right now that you're like, I got to send this to this person because they need to hear that message right there. So you are amazing, Vicki. I love you. And I look forward to speaking to your Global Women's Ministry next month. I cannot wait.
Can't wait. I'm so excited to have you join us, Tina. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share. It's been wonderful. It's been such a blessing.
Thank you. God bless you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to send us your stories of transformation through www.tinablack.net. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to give it a rating and subscribe. See you next time.